Turn with me, please, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I have a question tonight. And the question is, what impact does your God have on you? What impact does your God have on you? I did not say, what do you want from Him? I did not say, do you ask Him to lead you into happy times? I did not say, do you ask Him to lead you into prosperous ways? What impact does your God have on you as you go your way in your life, as you live your life? What impact does God have on you? Let me try to illustrate it this way so we can determine about impact. Let's suppose that you liked a certain type of car because your friend who you are with all the time likes that kind of a car, points out its appealing features. And so you decide to get that kind of a car because your friend has pointed out its appealing features and likes that kind of car. That means that that friend had some impact on you, had impact upon your thinking, and you might have purchased a car because of your friend's impact upon you. Same thing, maybe a girl goes to a store to purchase a dress and her friend goes with her and she's looking at the dresses. Maybe she sees a dress that, you know, looks pretty good, but it didn't strike her as being anything too spectacular. And then her friend says, boy, that's a great dress. That great dress really looks great on you. And the girl buys that dress. That means that the friend had an impact on the life of the person buying the dress. If your friend watched certain movies that you never watched, but now you couldn't resist any longer because your friend described how appealing the movie was, that means that the friend had an impact upon your life. If your friend said that they were going to a certain college and you changed your mind and wanted to go there, your friend had an impact upon your life. What impact does your God have on you? This psalm shows an impact that God had on the writer of the psalm. Number one, we see he was conscious of the Lord's omnipresence. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. He's conscious of the omniscience of God. You know what the omniscience of God is? It means He is all-knowing. He knows everything. Omniscient. Do you think this way? Look what he says in verse 2. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. In other words, you know what I'm doing every moment. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Not only does God know what we think, it says understand. He knows why we think it. He is omniscient. He knows everything, even our thoughts afar off. Do you think this way? Do you think this conversation that I am having right now, God knows it. God knows what I am saying, and God knows why I am saying it. Do you think that way? Or do you go through your life, you speak, and it never occurs to you that God knows what you're thinking? Verse 4, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. There's no doubt about that, is there? Thou knowest it altogether. Do you think that way? God knows what I'm saying. He knows every word. He knows why I've said these words. You know, if you go on your merry way every day with little thought that God knows everything you're doing, your God has little impact upon your life. Maybe no impact upon your life. Number two, The writer is conscious of his omnipresence. Verse 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Darkness and light, he said, are both alike to thee, God. It makes no difference to God. He is omnipresent. Means he is present everywhere. Do you think this way? Wherever you are, you think this way? He is with me right now. He is with me this very moment. He surrounds me right now, where I am. Wouldn't that affect your behavior? If some Christian is behaving badly, you know, they're not like the psalmist. He is conscious of his omniscience, omnipresence. Number three, conscious of his omnipotence. Verses 13 to 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that is rightly cited to show the irrational wickedness of abortion. The Word of God says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, verse 13. So there's no doubt what he's talking about here. In verse 14, he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Marvelous are the works of God that makes life in the womb and makes the person and fashions that person as God wants that person fashioned. These verses alone are enough to show what a horrible thing abortion is, that anybody would mess with what God has made. But it shows the omnipotence of God, because he is powerful to make human life. It should show us how our bodies are totally made and controlled by God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I want to know something, girls. When you go to the mirror, do you say with the psalmist, I am fearfully and wonderfully made? You know what happens with girls? They look in a mirror and they say, I don't like this part of my face. I don't like this part. I don't like this part. I wish it was different. I don't like that. You know, if your God had an impact on you, you'd be saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that God made me exactly this way. He wanted me to be exactly this way. God made me to look like this. How can I please him? That's what we ought to say if God has an impact on us. Number four, conscious of his care personally. Verse 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This is a very personal God. As you read this verse, it should strike you. He's a very personal God. How precious are thy thoughts? God's thoughts. The person says, how precious are those thoughts unto me? Does it make a difference to know that we have a close personal relationship to God? Not just how great are God's thoughts, but how great they are to me. Unto me, little old me. What impact does your God have on you? You go through life like an unsaved person? Everything you do, you think about yourself? And there's no impact at all from God? Nothing about your speech, nothing about your behavior, nothing about your evaluations? Even consider that God is right there, knowing? Number five, the psalmist is conscious of God's enemies, verses 19 through 22. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. He says, thine enemies take thy name in vain. I count them as mine enemies. Now these are four sobering verses. Sobering verses. And where he states that those that use the Lord's name in vain are the enemies of God. And he says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. It's a sobering verse, isn't it? So let me draw a conclusion from this that you do well to think upon. To have close and great friends with those that take his name in vain shows that your God does not have much impact on you. Let me be clear on this. We live in a world of which we constantly hear people take the Lord's name in vain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us in effect we'd have to go out of the world to avoid those kind of things. We may have acquaintances. There may be people working in the same business with us, in the same factory or whatever, that take the Lord's name in vain. It is impossible to escape that. But if you have close and great friends, I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm not talking about people we meet along the way in business. I say close and great friends that we feel very close to, that take the Lord's name in vain, and you go on and it stays close, it shows that your God does not have much impact on you. Because the Word of God says, thine enemies take thy name in vain. And he says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. If they're an enemy of God, I count them mine enemies. And this goes double for religion. It goes double for religion. Let me illustrate it in something that you will well understand. Not too long ago, within the last few weeks, Karen Bowden's mother died. I hoped that she was saved. I thought at one point that I had led her to the Lord. At another point, my wife spoke to her about her soul and thought she surely led her to the Lord. I hope one of those times that was in absolute truth, that she was given the righteousness of God in heaven. I hope that was the case. They did not have a typical funeral for her. They had a grave side. And her... Karen's brother was to do the graveside. Now, Karen's brother has some role cults, the Watchtower people, better known as Jehovah's Witnesses. And he was going to say some words at the graveside. He was the one who was officiating at the graveside of his mother. Now, we wanted to support Karen during that time of difficult in life. I don't know what the brother's going to say, but I count those enemies of God who degrade Jesus to just being a man. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have worked hard at demonstrating, proving, twisting scripture to state that Jesus was not God the Creator. They dance all around the first chapter of John to demonstrate that Jesus is not the everlasting Word, the Creator of all the worlds. That is high blasphemy. And goes beyond your friend who, in the carelessness of his habits, uses the Lord's name in vain, which is bad enough. But for those who consciously work at degrading the Lord Jesus Christ to being just a man, they are the enemies of God. And the psalmist says, if they're the enemies of God, they're my enemies. And so when I hear they are going to officiate at a service like that, I am offended by them because they do not uplift the Savior who's taken me to heaven. And these verses show that attitude, don't they? I don't know the young man, or older, however old he is, to hate him personally. But we certainly hate the doctrine that they carry. What impact does your God have on you? Are you, number one, conscious of his omniscience, that he knows your thoughts afar off? Number two, are you conscious of his omnipresence, that he is surrounding you at all times? Are you conscious, number three, of his omnipotence, that he's all powerful, that he created your body and fashioned your body and made you look like you look and can do what he wants with you? Number four, are you conscious of his care for you personally? Number five, are you conscious of his enemies, who his enemies are, and who you line up with? And number six, are you conscious how he sees you? Verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. Do you do that? Do you say, search me, O God? Or you're pretty happy with your Christian life the way it is, and you're not about to change it. And you think you've got all your ducks lined up, and that's about it. Let me give you a little test. Here's a test for you to see whether you like to say, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I got a little test to see whether that's what you like to do. When I'm done preaching on any given time, or Bob Holmes is done preaching, or Pastor Brandenburg is done preaching, Mike McMahon is done preaching, at the end of the message, do you contend or do you repent? Do you contend or repent? When you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and maybe there's a certain little subject that suddenly the preacher touched on, do you contend or do you repent? Do you say at the end of the sermon, well, you know, he's inconsistent in his life, and so I don't have to listen to that other thing. He might have had some verses, but you know, he's inconsistent. And you know, he doesn't always apply those verses the way he's supposed to apply those verses. And I know he's not right about this because I think otherwise. Well, his family is not consistent. Or God is just spoken to my heart. I better respond. God has just used the preaching of the Word of God through a human being, that God ordained human beings. God has spoken to my heart. That was mentioned again in a sermon. It's been mentioned before. And I better start to make heed now. Oh Lord, search my heart and know if there be any wicked way. Let me repent of that wicked way and get it right before God. Are you conscious of how God sees you? Or are you so consumed with your own impression of yourself? What impact does your God have on you? You know, if you just live your life and think your own thoughts and never think, God knows what I'm saying now. God made me this way, the way I look. These are the enemies of God. I better watch whose side I'm on. If you don't ever think about things like that, your God has no impact upon you. You live your life not much different than a lost person, except for the fact that blessedly you're going to heaven by the grace of God. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed and we come to our prayer and invitation time. You're saved and you know you're saved and on your way to heaven. Has the Lord spoken to your heart in some way tonight? Some area of your life that right now that you know that you need to do something about? Would you do something about it right now and take it to the Lord and confess it? Ask the Lord to strengthen you to do whatever is right. Will you do that right now? You're saved and you know you're saved. Father in heaven, we come before Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that the Word of God gives us all this information. Lord, help us to be a people of God that acts upon what we read, that comes from the very heart of God. And Lord, help us to be strengthened by doing the Word of God and living for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.